the light, everyone. I will make you curse the first kiss your mother ever gave your father. And then you are my wolf brothers.
I will be, you touch my wolf, you die to die.
And I will also say, you can't hurt me anymore, Moraine, because this is the last episode of season two.
You can't hurt me anymore. I already cut myself on the regular.
All right, I'm going to start.
Who's going first? Yeah.
I'm going first. I almost don't even want to talk about this episode because it's so fucking good. And I know they just wiped their ass with the book. And I don't care. It's a good episode of television.
It was awesome. I agree. I didn't wipe their ass with it completely.
Let the man speak. Let the man speak. But let him say
it. I agree, Desmond. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Fuck Jeremy and his negativity. I can't wait to hear how much he hated it.
And I'm going to just, I said I didn't want to talk about it because I don't want to push my luck. And I'm just going to stick to that. So, Jeremy, you can have my 30 seconds.
You know what?
Tell us why it was so terrible.
I was watching the show and I got to tell you, I'm a sucker for reunions. I'm a sucker for people coming together. I love the scene in Avengers Endgame when all the guys show up, when Captain America picks up Mjolnir. And I'm just like, I was a sucker for that stuff. So when I saw it in this episode, I was like, it was great. And yes, you're right. There was almost nothing from the books in this. And the stuff that was from the books was kind of like bleh, but honestly,
bastardized.
Yes, but honestly, I really like this show. I really like this episode.
Yeah,
I did. I was super shocked. I was so shocked. I was like, you know what? This was a good episode. At the very end, when they all come together and Ishmael's fighting Egwene, and she's like standing in front of him, and then Rand gets up at the very end, and I was just like, eh. I liked it. I mean, all the weird stuff aside, you know, the dagger turning into a lightsaber and being able to cut through anything.
Stop taking my jokes.
I got it too.
Oh, please. Come on. We all had the same joke. We all thought in the very beginning when he turned it into a spear and then cut through the lock, we're like, oh, that's Qui-Gon cutting through the door. You wanted to hear Peyton Fane say, close the blast doors. They're still coming through.
Release the droid decals.
Boring conversation anyway.
You were right about one thing, Master. Negotiations were short.
It was a good episode. It was a really good episode. I don't think it saved the season. It didn't turn the season from a C to an A. But it did take, I would say it took it from a C to a B minus. That's for
like,
me.
Is it like, if they continue this trajectory, you can see a future where
absolutely
the show's
absolutely
good?
Yeah, I think it's heading towards epicness, dude.
Especially if they keep going towards the books. And after all the stuff that's gone on.
They can't. They've taken too many left turns. It would ruin.
No.
No, they've literally made it to where.
Really?
All the shit they've done is to make it so they can.
Okay.
Go forward.
Okay.
Really close to the books.
So they've killed off some minor characters that live on later on. They've brought in people that don't come into the books until later, and they've moved people around. Totally fine by me. I don't care about that. As long as they hit the high points, right? But here's the thing, too. And I think Justin would even agree with me. In the first three books, we have seen nothing of all of the things in the first three books that I wanted to, like the epic scenes that you would want to see. We've seen
like the major things. Yeah, we haven't seen them.
We've seen zero, except for Shadow Logoth.
Right, but no fight with the Green Man at the Eye of the World. No Aghanor, no Bathomel, no Belal fight in the Stone of Tyr. No Kalendor from the first three books yet.
No fight in the sky. No
no Dark Friends or no Dark Hounds. No Balefire.
Yeah.
Did we get any Trollocs after the opening of the season?
No, zero.
No, zero.
Zero.
I guess that's kind of...
So I'll shut up, let Justin go off. I'm putting my mic on mute.
Dude, I loved it, man. I'm kind of like this. Just, it's a hot mess away from the books. You get enough Easter eggs and callbacks, and I would say stuff that is important to the characters themselves. You get to see things, and we'll get more in depth as we talk about it. But I think wrapping up this season, holy shit, I'm very, very, very happy. I cannot fucking wait to see where it goes. Other than that, I'm kind of like this. I don't want to over talk about it. We're gonna break the shit down in the weeks to come. And I've got a lot to say about this episode, so I want to get into the specifics of it.
Yeah, let's do that.
And couple things that I saw. A few clips from the Rafe, he gets to be Rafe Judkins today.
Oh, hang on. Let's start. We're going to start at the very beginning of the episode and work our way through. Who's babysitting Lou's baby?
Well, I was going to say.
Who's watching that baby?
They imagine the series with 10 seasons to cover the 14 books at 8 episodes a season. And I found out that they had to rewrite the whole second season from Barney leaving, pretty much.
They're shooting for 10?
So that's not what I heard today. I saw something on.
They said they imagined it that way. Okay. I don't know what they're shooting for, but she's like, I imagine the story being told.
Okay.
I saw something on YouTube saying 8 seasons.
Yeah.
Well, I saw the one that he's saying, you know, we imagine the story being told over 10 seasons to cover the 14 books. So I would, that assumes new spring as well. So yeah, but I think they're just working it in.
I mean, I would in my heart, in my wildest dreams, I want 10 seasons. But this, you know, this isn't Cheers.
I would take 8 easily, but
10. I'd rather have 8 seasons with like 12 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. But I don't care. As long as they tell the story good, I don't care what it is. It just needs to, they're heading towards epicness, and I hope they really fucking, I mean, it seems like it's all going the right way. But like I said, I heard they had to rewrite the whole second season, which is why it got kind of wild as well. Did you notice the intro was back?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Which was cool.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I love it, but it's just weird to just be like, that's like a bone, an end of the season bone. Like, here, let's give you the full experience just one last time.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that.
I'm thinking maybe they'll bring it back next season when they get a little more rain, maybe. Or
I was hoping that they would either cut it out so that they could have more time for the show, you know?
Yeah.
But maybe they just wanted to throw it in for the last episode. I mean, it was longer than normal, the episode was.
But also, this was fucking Lord of the Rings extended edition style. Like the credits were 8 minutes on this episode. Like they did a season. It's almost like they saved some credits for end of the season credits.
Right. Maybe I feel like it was one of those things. Like maybe it's like, well, you know, CGI budget wise, you could save $15,000 to $20,000 if you cut this from the beginning of every episode. Oh, okay, cool. We'll put that in someplace else as far as like the CGI budget or something. I don't know.
Well, it's done though. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like,
yeah, I don't know, man. I don't care.
I don't care either. It's just weird.
It was amazing. Okay, Des, you want to just kind of go through the episode so we stay kind of
chronological? Yeah, somewhat. I just because I want to kind of go through my notes and they're in order.
Me too.
So we won't be sticklers about it, but
I'll try not to interrupt too much.
When Lanfear just fucking blows a kiss and knocks Moraine and Lan right out of the fucking ways.
Right. Do we think that was kind of traveling the way she just kind of like did that weave with her hand instead of, because that's not how Moraine opens the way gate.
No.
Well, that's just power. She's just like.
She travels later with her and Rand.
Yeah. She actually.
Inside.
Yeah.
She does.
Did I miss? Well, okay. But they don't show anything, right?
No. Well, they don't. But then you at the very end of the episode.
We'll talk about it. We're going to talk about that.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, for sure. Jeremy, I got questions for you about that one. So Dane's art's making a little more sense as opposed to just like, I heard you killed my dad, so I super hate you. Like, makes a lot more sense. He knew Perrin, right? He met him before, and then Perrin was going to fuck him, dude. He deserved to get his fucking head cut off. Why did they do that? They did our boy Hopper. Oh, man. I stopped. I paused. I cried.
That was brutal.
Lisa left the room. She's like, fuck this show.
She's like, as Hopper, it's like John Wick.
Dude, it was fucking brutal, dude. This was brutal. I cried hard.
It was brutal. Right.
I was like, if I would have been alone, like a true man, I would have just fucking sobbed. If I hadn't been taking notes, I'd be like, I gotta get through for the podcast.
Listen, I didn't cry, but I did cry at Old Yeller and my dog Skip. So I've got my dog crying in.
I'm so like, because I've realized lately, because Kelly's really sensitive to that shit. And I've realized how much they're cramming it into movies because we're all deadened to human tragedy. And so they're like, well, if,
yeah, we cheer for humans dying. We're like, woo!
Yeah, it's like, if we want these people to feel anything, then we've got to do slaughter a horse and show everything.
Dude, you're right. I watched a movie the other night, Dangerous Game, The Legacy Murders. First of all, John Voight's in it, and he is fantastically crippled. At one point, him and his son are kind of arguing, and John Voight starts trying to bite him because he's kind of crippled. He's like, argh, argh, and then rips the power out of his wheelchair and tries to start electrocuting him with it, and then electrocutes himself.
Please tell me that he uses the same accent that he did in Anaconda. Come on, baby bear, I go get you.
I have to wake up. Monkey blood. Don't get me upset.
See this? Human bones. That's how it comes out.
So two things. One, the pacifier is definitely not a Terangriel because she puts it in her mouth. Yeah. So,
and she spits it out. Well, when she put it in her, I still wasn't sure.
But she cuts her tongue first.
What? No, that was after. Oh, yeah, I guess it was. No, yes.
She had a knife in her and she sliced her tongue and then she.
What does that have to do with the pacifier? It has nothing to do with the pacifier. She puts it in her mouth and she pulls a magnet.
Activated by blood, bro. Spits it out later.
It's all poop. But then also, we also find out Matt's motivation for leaving. They actually gave him like a backstory for why the old actor left, which was kind of good. You know, I didn't mind that.
I like that.
What did I miss?
Pot and Fane says you left your friends to come back and find the dagger.
Oh, right. We guessed that so long ago, I forgot it mattered.
Yeah.
There are six seals left. Obviously, we'll get to what happens to them towards the end of the show. Well,
not anymore.
Well, like I said, we'll get to that at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Some are bigger than the others. Do you think that's to designate like male and female or maybe like power levels or just...
I think it's just to designate that they're different people. That's all.
You gotta use what you got.
Dude, the bonding when Moraine rebonded Lan too.
Oh,
so stupid. I hated it. I really did. And no, it was dumb.
Really?
Yes.
See, I thought that was cool. I think it was very intimate, and I thought it's supposed to mean something.
And I think that if it was any other character besides Lan, I would be like, okay. But the way that Daniel Henney plays Lan.
But he got the tears in his eyes and it meant a lot though. It was very...
No. Lan would never have tears in his eyes. Never.
Is he that much of a stone face in the book?
He really is. They call his nickname is Stone Face.
Oh, well, there you go.
Desmond, if you think of Worf.
Legit.
That is it.
Like an emotionless, seriously.
In my mind, it was always Worf. It was always Michael Dorn was playing him in my mind.
I only think of Worf when I masturbate and I've had a really busy week.
Oh my God.
I cannot laugh at that. Why am I laughing at that?
Do you shoot for the forehead?
That is horrible.
I do.
Right here. Or the mustaches.
And then it dries and I get that wrinkly thing. I don't know. I can see, I mean, even if Lan was a stone face, like, you're merging souls, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, it's going to be.
As far as I'm concerned, the books got it wrong if Lan was just like, cool, thanks, bye.
Well, and you know what? But that's not a bad thing, because someone who hasn't read the books really loves Lan, and that's what they need you to do is fall in love with him in a different way. So that's okay.
Exactly. You need to understand that there's an intimateness between the two of them, and that's okay. But I don't like it.
Oh, Jeremy doesn't like it. What a surprise.
We have not seen Lan beat his chest for the last time in this series. Oh,
yeah.
How dare you?
So, dude, sorry. Am I the only one that think Nynaeve's like Sol Dan get up is kind of an improvement? She looked.
Yeah, she did. She's got that, you know, like smeared mascara look where she just looks angry all the time.
Yeah, dude, it's just gangster, dude.
She just had a single purpose. Like, she's always just looking around at who am I mad at? Can I be mad at you? But finally she was just like, all right, let's go get Egwene. And just, it looks good on her. Purpose looks good on her.
Yeah. So in the next scene too, what made me laugh is when Perrin and the Aiel girls are coming around the corner, and then they run into Loial and the two Shinarans, and they have the horn and everything. All I could think of was Breakfast Club or something like that, where they all come sliding around the corner. They're like, dude, what's up? We got the horn.
I want to be an airborne ranger. I want to live the life of danger.
Oh my God, that's so good.
I don't even know what we're saying right now.
For better hallway vision.
But all of a sudden, they just have the horn. And I was like, wait, what? They have the horn? Like,
yeah. They cut out the horn and they cut out something.
I'm glad that they cut that out, though, because we didn't need to see Lanfear just handing it over to them. They're like, oh, the nice lady from the car rings.
No, I thought that would be great. Okay. So in the next couple scenes, we see that Ingtar says the line that we know from the books, one man can hold 50 people in this alley, right?
Right.
And he ends up fighting and dying.
He held about four.
Exactly. And dies. But
obviously not a blade master.
But we don't get his motivation for saying something like that and why he was given the horn specifically to him. Right. We should know that. And I think that would have helped out.
Do we know in the show that he's the one who opened the gate?
No. In the show, we don't. Well, no. What gate? Okay. No, he didn't open the gate. Remember, it was two other people. And then they both got killed.
Do you love Elaine? I love Elaine.
Elaine's great.
I love her so far. She's awesome.
Do you know who loves her even more?
Rand.
Rand. The end of this episode.
Rand. Yeah. Who are you?
Who are you?
Hello. Is this the first time they've seen each other in the show?
Yeah.
Yes. But that is kind of how he meets her in the book. You know, he's like laying on his back. He's kind of like, remember?
That's so right. Falls off.
He fell off a wall, though. It's completely different.
Not nearly as cool of a moment. Not nearly as cool as getting stabbed by your best friend who's trying to protect you. Oopsie.
You know what else I learned from this episode and pretty much the entire second season? Matt is the best character, because you can have two different actors play him and he's still the best character on screen always.
Exactly.
He has the best lines. He's gonna have the best, like, whatever, everything. It's just gonna be great.
He's got a shit haircut, but he's around here.
Right. He always has the best lines.
I know. That first kiss thing, wasn't that a Forsaken line in the books?
It was something. I definitely remember it. I don't think this
I'll make your dad regret the first kiss he gave your mother or something like that.
That was from the book.
I swear that was but isn't it a Forsaken line that Nynaeve says? I thought it was. Maybe not.
I feel like someone might say it to Matt.
Maybe. I feel like it was like a bad guy's kind of line. And then it was just like, boop. Oh, okay. Nynaeve's going to do that. Nynaeve looks like she kind of like, I don't want to say gets off on torturing it, but it's kind of like, you know, she's switched a few grown women who have acted up in her day. and she didn't mind dropping that justice on that chick. Again, the actor that is playing Rhaena is, they were amazing.
Oh, and we see now how Rhaena picked up Jeremy.
What?
Yeah, what we're using, I was thinking that they were using the collar to pick her up, but yeah.
Rhaena has the power in her. Like Egwene tells her later, like, you are like me, I am like you. So that's probably where that strength came from. When she got angry at Egwene, that's how she got her off the ground.
I think you're right, yeah.
Right, because she's too weak. That's the thing. It's like, it kind of takes, I don't think it's revealed that quickly. I mean, you can suss it out, but this, you don't really figure out that the Soldams can also channel until way, way later.
Which, of course, they can.
Or, I say, it's not, it, of course they can, but it's not confirmed, I should say.
Well, no, but, and no one in the world knows it. Really? Well, but no, because not everyone can be a Soldam, can they? Can anyone be a Soldam?
No.
It's like they said, it's people who can learn to channel in the books, but like they're kind of also kind of...
They're weak in the power.
Piggybacking on if you're really... Even if you have the spark and you're really weak, you would also be a Soldam.
Okay.
Yeah, it's different in the books. It's people who will going to channel no matter what, and then other people who can be taught to channel, which is... It's really hard to explain.
But won't necessarily channel.
So in the TV show, it makes more sense, but they're like, no, you're just so weak that you just got passed over. And that's totally fine.
Full blood or mud blood.
So what you're saying is Rand is born pure of midichlorians.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Emperor Palpatine is Rand's dad.
Oh, Justin almost ruined his new computer with whiskey.
Seriously. And I got my other one pulled apart and like I got it all taken apart. And then I got down to one. I'm like, oh, man, I got the little kit.
Oh, rad.
And I'm like, oh, man, I need one size smaller of the little six pointed star, you know. And then I'm like, got it. And I got that one off.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to the next one. I'm like, fuck, I need one size smaller. So like, I ordered the kit and I ordered one. And I ordered another one, so I should be able to fix it by the weekend.
Oh my god! And you're gonna have $1,000 worth of tools.
You needed the Wheel of Time bit. It's a seven pointed star. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's probably why I couldn't fix
that's
it.
That's the problem.
I'm so dumb. Well, they were gonna charge me $500 to fix it. I got $169 screen and $40 worth of tools, and I'm gonna do it myself or break it.
You can still pay someone $500 to fix it then.
No, once I got it taken apart, I figured the labor should be half the price.
That's true. I'm gonna send you all these pieces.
I don't have any of the screws. Sorry.
Well, it's back together. I have some pieces left over, but it's totally fine.
How many screws do you have? What?
Six. It's supposed to be 38. Oh.
Ooh.
So the White Cloaks, like, that's a crazy way to attack.
Like, they came hard. That's kind of what they did in the book. They come in a full charge, though.
Yeah, but not creating their own fog with kids.
Okay.
Incense.
Send all the kids forward with a bunch of sage. We'll be right behind.
Send the altar boys forward. Make them walk slow. Their behinds are...
Slow it down.
So do we agree that Pod and Fane is a good bad guy? He's pretty fucking creepy, right?
No, oh, yeah, the guy who plays him is great.
Oh, in the first Flash, Pod and Fane in last week's episode, Pod and Fane is drowning Matt, and then they switch, I believe.
Oh, is that right? Okay, I have to go back and watch it.
Yeah, I did see the Pain and Fane part, but I'm excited to do them. And we kind of knew what Moraine was saying about, you know, oh, we're not equals because Land, you're better or whatever.
So we have to, I know we're going to spoil something, but I don't care now. Now that Matt has stabbed Rand in the show, I need to know how it happens in the books.
Ishmael stabs him, right?
Yeah, in the books, there Ishmael has like a staff of just like a wooden staff. And him and Rand are fighting with, Rand has a sword and they're fighting. And then Rand is like, I just want it to end. So he gets in this like stance, basically with the sword over his head. And then as he is stabbed by Ishmael, like he just leaves himself open. As he's stabbed by Ishmael, he just brings it down and like stabs him right in the chest. And so Ishmael is really hard.
Basically where he stabbed him in this episode.
Basically, yeah, where he stabbed him in the episode. But then Rand is stabbed in the side and then it just won't heal. But Ishmael doesn't die.
That being said, is that exactly how you imagine that wound looking, though? It's exactly how I imagined it. Like, exactly.
No, in my mind, it's...
Like all puckery after they healed it when it's all black and puckered.
But yeah, it's more round. But yes, that's very cool.
Really? No, I pictured it like exact. I mean, maybe a little bigger, but that's exactly how I pictured it. It's all like gnarly and stuff. Right.
It's pretty nasty.
I'm all in for Ogier battle speeches. We also got to thank the light from Perrin.
Yeah, that's true. What did you think of when Rand and Turok face off? I was like, oh yes. So first,
Indiana Jones, baby.
I literally said the same thing.
100%.
I wrote it down too. Indiana Jones.
He Indiana Jones'd him.
I'm like, oh, it's cool that the Suldam, you know, all the commands they give her in the old tongue. Oh, here we go, sword fight. Nope. Everybody's dead.
Did you see that there was a Heron mark on the handle?
Yeah.
That disappeared after that. Like, it never showed up before. And it wasn't there afterwards. The one that was on the handle.
Until it melts into Rand's hand.
No, he grabs the blade.
And we only got one Heron, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, there's only one. And so, yeah, it's like the disappearing Heron.
Got our Bail Doman. We got Bail fucking Doman in this bitch.
That was a good bookend from his first appearance to his last appearance. Like that all made sense. That was cool.
Yeah, agreed.
I feel like we'll get a little bit of him at the beginning of next season with them getting out of Falm or something like that.
Did you know too, Justin, that the Shannaran with the ponytail, the guy who's left alive at the very end?
Massima.
That's Massima, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously they're gonna work that prophet.
You see him at the very end when the dragon comes up the top. He's like staring up at him like, oh, man, wow.
Oh, really? I kind of missed that. I love that Lanfear is trying to get rid of, to go drop the seal. That's a little bit of a callback to a few things.
True.
Brandon, sorry. So basically, Yosha had diarrhea that day. And he's like, here's what we're going to do. No sword fight.
Hey, they were probably in the same village that
seriously
Harrison Ford was in. They might have eaten the same food.
Fucking river full of crocodiles right around the corner.
So, all right, of all the you know, separating yourself from the books, that's whatever. Soul damning is soul dam or domani, whatever, however you want to talk about it.
I'm with it. I liked it a lot.
I don't know. It just doesn't. I just feel like there would be some kind of a spell or something that would be like, if you had a Domani, they couldn't.
Well, basically, if she would have killed her, I think, with the collar on, they would have killed both of them. But that's why she drops it off. Like, oh, if I drop it off, maybe, and I'm going to let you go, maybe you won't kill me. But then
Egwene. But she can't even punch her. Like, okay, I can't punch you, but I can put, like,
well, that's the thing. She is only beholden to Rena because she has the bracelet. But Rena is beholden to her because she has the bracelet. So it's like, I outrank you. That's the way I took it anyway.
It's a double A-dom standoff is what it is.
It's exactly. You know what? It's what it is. It's a double cross. And I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for your meddling kids.
It's a double Adam cancel out is what it is. So
I liked it. I'm just saying, if you have one of the most powerful Angreals in the fucking world, you got to have a safety on it.
Well, Jeremy, this is the one that I want to say I hate. And I don't think there's going to be another version. I guess we got the Ashendari.
I think you're right. I really do. Yeah, I totally think that's right.
It's not my favorite, but it's okay. It's pretty cool. It's cool. It obviously has some powers. I'm with it. I like it. It'll never be as cool as the Ashendari from the books, but maybe it's something that he gets later because, you know, we find out that Matt is a hero of the horn.
Okay, so I actually, when he says I'm a hero of the horn, if they give him his abilities to, you know, think back to all of his lives and then he can be a better battle commander that way, that's the backstory that we never get from the from the books.
Yeah, and I'm totally in on it. I love it. I thought it was great.
I mean, we do get a backstory for that in the books. It's just,
but not till the very end.
Yeah,
the very end is when you get Matt's like, oh yeah, you're a fight with us, gambler, you know. Yeah, I feel like maybe it's like kind of like you, I don't know if it was you or Desmond said, had to be like attuned to the dagger to make it like, you know, lightsabery. Otherwise, it's just a dagger.
But it tells you why Loyal didn't die too, right? Because it's just kind of a lightsaber.
Yeah.
It's not really a...
Oh, yeah. Like... We never got anything about that.
You just did.
No, you didn't.
You just did. It's not a super dagger until you strap it to the end of a quarterstaff. Then it's crazy.
That's what it is. You gotta wrap it.
Is that because so now it's not a because if it attaches to somebody, it loses some of its power? And so
no, it just becomes, you know.
No. I mean, in the books, it's like if it nicks you, you're dead.
So based on Rand's boo-boo from the dagger, I think Loyal has a Quato growing in his belly.
Yeah, you're right. That's absolutely right.
A what?
Wouldn't that be great?
A Quato.
I don't know what that is.
Remember. What does he say? What does he say? What does he say? He doesn't say remember, though.
Open your mind. Open your mind.
Dude, I mean, it was pretty gangster how Eggy got herself. She the Rand's telling me, I'm here to save you. She's like, oh, good. Great. Excellent.
So thanks. Thanks for saving me. I just got trebucheted.
Yeah, I just caught a big fucking rock. And I mean, I'm, you know, thanks. I appreciate the sentiment and all that. But what the fuck? 10 minutes earlier.
One of the smallest details that made me happy in this show was that I was like, really? Is Egwene going to get away by an act? Like, I know it's a battle and it happens all the times in movies where, you know, you escape because you accidentally got attacked just right. But when Rena says later, like, it's your fault, like, they attacked us where we were supposed to be standing. That was a stupid little detail that, like, made me feel better because I was just like, oh, if Egwene gets away because of an oops, I trebucheted your tower, I'm going to be so mad.
Right. Oops, I trebucheted you.
So, like, basically she's saying that Egwene, like, let the attack through, basically.
Right. I'm surprised there were so many white cloaks down there. I thought Egwene was going to go ham, like, because that's why she's able to attack the first time. She's like, oh, white cloaks? Oh, I can do that.
Yeah. Well, she hasn't taken the oath rod, so technically she can do whatever the fuck, you know. So,
well, I know she can, but she didn't want to hurt any innocents. But then she saw white cloaks and she's like, innocent in my ass. So I expected her to, like, accidentally help out more by just,
yeah,
fuck it, disintegrating a bunch more white cloaks.
We lost Rena and Sita.
Yeah.
But Sita got She got the Rena, what happens in the books to Rena.
Yeah, in the neck.
She got the crossbow to the neck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you think of the Horn of Valyr, guys?
Loved it. I actually liked it. It was a little like lo-fi. It wasn't as big as it should have been. But also, like, I understand your budget. It's not.
It's magic. It's magic, you know?
Well, but your budget isn't Lord of the Rings budget, right?
Not yet.
Yeah. If it was Lord of the Rings budget, it would have been huge, right? We've been in hundreds of people. Instead, it was, and you totally called it, Justin. I wrote this down in my notes that Uno was going to be a hunter. Or the,
that was, I think I called that. I think I got.
One of you guys did. It wasn't me.
Yeah, I think Dez actually called it first. I saw someone kind of tweeted it online. I was like, oh, that's cool.
I poo-pooed it. I was like, there's no way.
Well, Jeremy, he's going to fucking be Gaidel Kane, dude. He was standing next to Brigitte.
Possibly.
He's going to be Gaidel, dude. He's going to be Gaidel Kane.
Oh, was he standing next to Brigitte? I didn't catch that.
And he's dual wielding two swords after he drops his shield to Perrin.
And he's short.
Was anyone else scared for a minute that the horn was just going to create a wave and knock down all the bad guys?
Yes, I was thinking it was going to not be what it's supposed to be. Yeah, I totally did.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be the power of the hero's past, and we weren't actually going to see them.
Right.
But yeah, I like the effects. Like, the effects are, but they have to do something. And like, I don't want them to like overdo the effects. So I kind of like the tracers and stuff like that, so you know who the heroes of the horn are.
I kind of dug that too. I loved it. I thought it was just really, really awesomely well done. I thought it was great.
I like the scene too where Perrin and the Aiel and Loyal are walking down the alley, and then there's the fog, and all of a sudden Matt comes running out of the fog, and he's like, Perrin, what the crap? And then they start hugging each other, like, what's going on? And he starts trying to catch up real fast. And that's the type of stuff that I'm a total sucker for. Like, you got me. All right, you got me.
Well, and even like Perrin and Dane are fighting, and he's like, Two Rivers? It's like, do we just become best friends?
Right.
It's like stepbrothers. And then like 2 minutes later, it's just like, no. It's like, dude, your dad killed my dog, bro.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Okay. So let's get to the top of the tower. I know we probably have a lot more to talk about, but we're going to.
Oh, hold on. One thing. So Nynaeve, when she's trying to fix Elaine's arrow to the knee, she was like, and I was all, and she's trying to get emotional. I was like, that's Lindsay Funke from, she's like trying to cry from her rest of the development when she's all, this used to work.
They, good point. B, they sat in the middle of that battlefield for.
Nobody came near them, right?
28 minutes? 35 minutes?
People don't fuck with Sildam unless they're a White Cloak, who the only people they want to kill are magic wielders.
It's like that scene from oh, damn it. I keep going. Oh, it's going to come to me.
Oh my God. Like, you really have nothing else for Nynaeve and Elaine to do but just deal with this. You're a healer. This is not an all-day situation, Nynaeve.
Okay, hold on, Des. Make me sound smart. I'm going to be like, ready, cut, ready, start, put this in.
Oh, no.
It's like that scene from Tropic Thunder when he's like, hold his hands. In the middle of a battlefield, he's got no, you got no hands.
Hold on, I'm going to cry. Damn.
So it takes the whole, it's just so beautiful because, like, that's another thing that's way different from the books. And I don't care. Is seeing all of our Two Rivers folk plus Elaine gather at the top of this tower, you know, again, like Super Avengers style, like it, you know, one's working defense while the other one's running offense.
You get the never healing wound. You get the heroes. You get everybody there.
Yeah, you get Moraine off on, you know, releasing the shield from afar. Just
that was cool too. I dug that.
And is she gone?
That was going to be my next question, Jeremy. What do you think? Is she gone all the way?
I think he's gone.
I think he's gonna. I don't think there's going to be a Morden. I think that's it.
Who talks to Lanfear at the end? Who's that?
Mogadin.
So that's Bjork, obviously. It's Bjork. I was like, that looks like Bjork. Oh, she sounds like Bjork. Is it like the when they do the de-aging thing for Bjork? That looks like Bjork.
Oh, who was that? Deepfake Bjork.
when Matt blew the horn, I was like, oh, he summoned the Justice League. I was like, I'm pretty sure I saw Aquaman in there.
Yeah, I was waiting for him to come with the dolphins. We just got one hair in Mark, right?
What do you mean? Oh, on the hand, you mean where he burned himself? Yeah.
He didn't get it on both hands, right?
There's just the one. Yeah.
Like Des said, do we think Ishii's gone for good, Cease? And that land?
Oh, shoot. Justin.
What?
You're not going to believe this. So I'm watching and I have this playing in the background. And
it was Bjork?
It was Bjork. Yes, you're totally right. On the front of the Shanchan ship, there's a cat with three eyes on the front of it.
Yeah.
Like a Lopar.
You didn't see that?
No, I didn't notice that.
Have you never noticed that before?
I never noticed that.
Yeah.
Wow. Very cool.
I thought it was like a dragon type thing at first, or like a just like a lion, and then you start looking at it, and it's got three eyes.
Yeah, it's got three eyes. So in the books, Desmond, there's the when the Shanchan come over, they have like weird animals that they don't see on.
Oh, the frogs.
The frog, the Grom. Yeah. So they have a three-eyed cat too, which is called a Lopar. I think it's, or is it the cat three eyes, or the Lopar has three eyes, but does the cat, or I'm sorry, the Grom has three eyes, but does the cat?
The Grom have three eyes, I think.
I don't know if the Lopar has three eyes. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We have to look it up.
I mean, it could be different in the show. Maybe they're going to combine the Grom and the cat or something.
It's going to be like The Simpsons again. It just everything's going to have three eyes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
exactly. Hey, oh, obviously Gandalf was around because the big fire dragon.
Yeah, that's what it was.
He obviously taught Moraine how to do that, right?
He totally did.
That's what I say. What do you think of that interpretation of the dragon banner, Jeremy?
Yeah, it wasn't my that's my thing.
Well, I was thinking it kind of like satisfies the, you know, proclaiming himself in the sky. You know, we don't exactly get the sky battle, but
yeah,
you know, you get the Ishii stab. Do you think he's gone? Like, come no more Morden, you know? Are they gonna
In my opinion, he's gonna come back. I think he'll come back because it's too confusing to bring back another actor.
What if they, instead of like, they cut out some of the last battle stuff, maybe give the Mandred stuff in the last battle to Samael and give the final thing, you know, battle for the light to the Mandred?
Honestly, what I think is they're gonna bring him back and he's gonna be really ticked off because he was like, oh, it's what I wanted. I wanted nothing. Right. I wanted nothing. I was at nothing. And you brought me back.
Oh, he's going to be pissed because they brought him back.
Exactly.
Because that's how Morden was at first.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of the last of my notes. I just have, oh, cool. Eamon's Shield 5 together. Mogadyn is, she's awesome. Getting our first glimpse of the spider. She's perfect. I mean, is she not?
Yeah. Jeremy? She's got human behavior.
What does she keep saying? The shadow, the dark. What does she keep reciting?
She says the itsy bitsy spider climbed up the water spout.
Yeah. Well, her nickname's the spider. So
down came the rain
and washed the Lanfear out.
Do you think that was a true power traveling? Yes, Jeremy.
I think it's going to be the traveling.
You think that's going to be traveling?
Yeah.
Like disapparating?
Yeah, I think so.
Because that's how they describe true power traveling in the books.
Kind of, yeah. We'll see. I mean, honestly, we'll see. We just don't know.
And what do you think she means when they're talking about, like, you know, he's ours now? Are the other, you know, six Forsaken going to be working all together? I mean, they kind of do in the books a little bit here and there, but
I think what they're saying is your schemes and your plans were yours, and now it's our turn. And we're not going to look out for him like you guys did, especially with Moraine saying that Ishmael, Lanfear, and Luthdaren were all buddies. In the, you know, back in the old days, which was technically not what happened they weren't like thick as thieves, you know, it wasn't like a Three's Company type of thing.
Well, no. I mean, at one point, you know, Luthdaren and Ishii were very,
they were friends and
good friends. And then, you know, obviously her and, you know, Lanfear and Luthdaren were lovers at one point. So did either one of you think that we were going to get, you know, Winter Dragon or whatever? When 3,000 years ago, I was like, oh, shit.
3,000 years. I was thinking, oh, man, this is going to be it. They're going to show the scene. You know, he's going to create Dragon Mount. Nope.
I thought it was cool, though.
Totally.
I still don't like the using the old tongue. I really don't. I think it's just like, hey, let him speak English. Or, you know, just like an interpretation. It's just
I think it'll be, I think they might not always use it appropriately, but I think it's going to be nice. Like when Matt breaks into it, you're like, oh, fuck, you know?
Yeah, like when he said it's time to roll the dice, I'm like, fuck, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jeremy, that like, yeah, they probably don't need to use it as much as they do, but I think it's going to come in handy.
Yeah.
To differentiate some certain things that are going on.
I liked it when they were using it in Teleron Riad, when they would like say one little thing and then they'd go back to English, like when Ishii and Lanfear are talking. I thought that was cool.
And that's kind of how it is in the books too, right? They'll go back and forth.
Yeah, totally.
All right, everyone out there, I'm just going to remind you one last time that we're keeping these short so I can get them out to you on time. But don't worry, we are going to go so deep. Next week, we're just going to talk about everything. I know I won't be able to rewatch the whole series, but I'm going to try to rewatch a couple episodes, especially the last one. And we're just going to go on and on about how we think about it and maybe some things we missed our first time through. And then we're going to just have a big party. It's going to be our number 100th. I don't know what the fuck we're going to talk about. We might talk about Wheel of Time. Hopefully, we're going to have some guests come on, so that will help us talk about Wheel of Time. But we're just going to celebrate having 100 episodes of this stupid podcast and love every second of it. And then we're going super deep. We're going commentary. So anything we've still missed, we won't miss it because we'll be forced to, while we're watching it, to bring it up in the moment. And we will get to everything and it's going to be fucking great. Thank you for listening to Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thankthelight. What we're doing on there, we don't want to put any Wheel of Time content behind a paywall. So we're going to talk about some other fantasy stuff over there on Thank the Light. If you subscribe now for $3 a month, you can check out our first episode, Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves. And next month, we are going to do Princess Bride. So I was at the store the other day and I always check out their cheap DVDs. I'll still buy any DVD for $3, especially if it's like in a package of two or three. Like if I can get a trilogy for $5, I'm buying that shit. And I saw Princess Bride for $2.99. I put it in my shopping cart and walked around for a while. And then I was like, I think I already own this.
A couple of them.
I was this close to owning two copies of The Princess Bride. But next month we'll talk about that and I will watch my very own home copy. It might even be, I bet it's even 4x3 just to make it really terrible.
Yes. My favorite.
I'm pretty sure I have it on the DVD as well, but I will be watching a digital version of it in 4K most likely.
Yeah.
As you wish.
As I wish.
When are we recording that one, Des?
I don't know. We'll get past the 100 and we'll get a commentary or two under our belt and then we'll do it. We'll get it. That episode will be out by the end of October.
Okay. So if anybody who's listening, first of all, thank you. Last month we hit over 1,000 listens, which is the best we've done so far. Thank you. Hopefully some stuff to get you stoked. I have been in touch with my best friend a couple times this week, and I think he gave me a hint that he was coming back. He said, hey, can't wait for Friday the other day. Out of nowhere, I didn't even text him. He goes, hey, hey, look, I have promised a long time ago that I would give the Dusty Wheel my first interview once everything got over with. He's like, but after we get that done, he's like, we'll get you on. And he's like, then he sent me a little, he goes, hey, looking forward to Friday. Can't wait. Hope you love it. And so I feel like I got a little inside hint from Guy Roberts, but you know, maybe it was just a lucky text, but I was like, oh man, he's gonna be a hero. I fucking know it.
And we will interrupt our regularly scheduled program whenever he wants to hang out with us.
Absolutely.
I have also heard from our buddy over at What Up, John. He was going to try to come on for our 100th episode, but it is his 24th wedding anniversary. Ooh. On the 19th. And I think,
oh wow,
that's when we would be recording it, roughly. I told him I might even try to get with him in the next 2 weeks. Maybe, Des, we could try some night to just get on there and interview him for like 20 minutes. and then slap it into an episode later.
Yeah, keep in contact. Oh, yeah, that'd actually be perfect.
If we can, and the editor said he's in for episode 100. Just let him know when. Like I said, we're trying to get Guy Roberts. Lauren from Unraveling the Pattern has said he'll come on, and we just got to figure out when to fit him in. So, you know, hopefully we have some other content creators on here, and we're going to have a lot of fun this off season while we enjoy the longings for season 3 and make Desmond read a book.
Woo! Thank you, Justin. Thank you for being in contact with everybody. Guests are amazing. And, you know, as far as I, and it makes it easy for me because I don't got to plan anything. We just get a cool person on and talk to them, and ta-da, we've got a great episode. How about that?
Exactly.
Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. If you have something you want to throw on our show, if you got a question, a comment, what, point out something maybe we missed, doubt it. Just because we didn't say it doesn't mean we missed it. Anyways, you can send that to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light. After you check out our Patreon, head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out all the other awesome podcasts we have on there. And on that note, oh, prophecies are the lies of long dead witches.
I'll just leave you with this for my favorite creepy cringy line of the entire season. And are you saying you love me?
And I'll also say that if you're ever locked in a room with me after I've eaten chili, I promise you, I will make you curse the first kiss your mother ever gave your mom.
It's true. I've spent nights with him in a small room, and it's disgusting. Tell your wife or so. May you always find water in shade.
Good night, nerds. I'm going to tell you a story about Justin. When we were growing up, Justin could not fall asleep without listening to the radio.
I still can't.
He still had to have the radio on. Are you serious?
TV.
Okay.
Depends. If I'm really tired, I'll pass out. But like, dude, I'll put headphones on.
I keep headphones next to my, I sleep with one earbud in if Kelly's not in the mood to watch something.
Dude, that's why my wife is the greatest, because she puts up with all of my shit. Oh, you want 2 TVs in the bedroom so you can play video games while we watch TV? Okay, ADHD, no problem.
And it's the best too, because Justin will be kicking ass at Madden and telling his wife what's going on her TV. It truly is an amazing thing to witness.
That guy's the murderer.
Yeah, like she's like, what, who?
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
It's where you poop.